Hey everybody, Coach Michael here. Hope you are all doing really, really well. Back here for another open class, and we have four emails to go through. By the way, you can submit email questions at our website here at thesleepcoachschool.com. At the top, there's a link to submit an email question, and we always answer them. Sometimes not the next day, but give us a couple days, and we will get to them. And really appreciate all the email questions that we do get. So I want to go over the four that we have here. So let's just jump right into it. And the first is from Ricardo. Ricardo says, I haven't sent you an email in a long time, but I follow your channel quite regularly. Thank you very much, Ricardo. Appreciate that. I came across your channel 6 months ago. At that point in time, I was in a very low point. I was convinced I had lost the ability to sleep. I started implementing CBTI. At that point, I was about to go to work abroad and I was really scared. 6 months forward, I know that I can indeed sleep, and that helped lowering the anxiety. It's great. I've done reasonably well this 6 months. I sleep most nights, never until the alarm goes off though. Sometimes more than others, and that is usually not a problem at work the next day. But what I still have a lot of is paradoxical insomnia. Very often I sleep for 4 hours straight, but it really feels like I time traveled. When I watch the clock, the fact that I realize that I have slept actually keeps me calm more than making me nervous. But I wished I had the feeling that I have actually slept. I wish I felt the pleasure of having slept, even if it wasn't all night. Thank you for your help. You got it, Ricardo. Right off the bat, just want to say, we, as always, nothing here is medical advice. These are just thoughts and comments and insights from emails. So what you are talking about is paradoxical insomnia. It's sort of that feeling that you didn't really sleep or didn't sleep very much compared to how much you actually did sleep. So whenever someone is talking about paradoxical insomnia, it's and sort of like that time travel kind of feeling, I just like to first always just make sure they understand that there's no way you would have a really, really accurate idea of how much you actually did sleep. That can only be done, you know, with the brainwave wires. So, you know, it's really hard. It's really something that is just humans aren't very good at it. You know, some people feel they have paradoxical insomnia. I think most people with insomnia have that same experience. I think most people have that same experience where they really don't have a great idea how much they slept. So, you know, I think, you know, even good sleepers, they tend to overestimate their sleep, while people who struggle with insomnia tend to underestimate their sleep. And therefore, most adults, no matter how good of a sleeper you think you are, tend to sleep anywhere between like 6 and 6.5 hours. That's the majority of adults as far as sleep time. So what that all means to me is it's really not something that should be focused on at all, how much you're sleeping. I talked about that last week in one of my live classes or my insights, I think. I was talking about kind of like, you know, you don't really track, like you don't know how much you eat calorie wise, like exactly, you know, you don't exactly know the quality of your food that you eat every single time compared to how much people who struggle with their sleep really try to nail down how much they're sleeping, how much deep sleep they got, all this kind of stuff. And that all tends to backfire. So I just encourage everyone just to really at least take a break from tracking sleep, if not drop it all together. I know checking the time, it sounds like not a problem at all. That's fine. If it's not a problem, it is not a problem. But if sleep isn't restorative and pretty easy, not a concern, anything like that, you know, you might try it. You might go back to not checking the time. It sounds like maybe you didn't for a while. It can be a really strong habit. People want to know the time at night. I like to say there's not much to know at night except what time it is. So it's a really easy habit to get into. If you set it and forget it, set the alarm for morning roughly around the time that you've been getting up and just forget about it and not know the time until the alarm actually goes off, then that really can help with the repeated checking, you know, peeking at the clock as the morning goes on, peeking at the clock until, you know, finally you just say, I'm just going to get up. And it's like you described, a little before your alarm is set. But that's not a surprise. If you're kind of glancing at the clock, kind of tracking things a little bit, I just encourage dropping the whole tracking thing and really making the night very methodical. I think that can help. You just kind of go through the night. You know, if you're sleepy, be in bed. If you're not sleepy, either be sitting up or be out of bed, one of the two. Always enjoying what you're doing. If you're awake for a while, don't punish yourself. And I think that could be a helpful kind of methodical way to go through the night to take a lot of the guesswork out of it. So I think that's about it. Yeah, I think that's kind of what I, when I read your message, Ricardo, I was kind of, you know, first of all, very happy that the CBTI got you to a place where there was less anxiety, of course. But the, you know, the final pieces of the puzzle, I think, are going to come with not tracking your sleep, not being attached to any particular night of sleep, even forgetting about how your night went. You know, first thing in the morning, I always encourage people to try to forget about your night. It shouldn't impact your day at all. Don't let it impact your day. And I think that can be good for sleep in the long run. I've just seen it so many times when people kind of, they start to not care. Like, it's sort of like, well, what did I eat? I don't know. I don't remember. You know, I just try to eat healthily and just leave it at that. And it kind of works itself out. So adopting a bit of that attitude, I know it might be easier said than done, I think is a good thing to work towards. Okay. So thank you for email. Really appreciate it. Let's go next to our second of four emails from Pat. Hey, Pat. All right. Hi, Daniel. Michael, can you talk about anticipatory insomnia? I've been on a good and decent stretch of sleep, but at times before I go to bed, I start becoming anxious as to whether the good stretch will continue. Then no surprise that I have a more difficult night. Thank you as always. Yes, anticipatory insomnia. Really, it's just insomnia that happens when you are, it can be anything. It can be like something's big's happening the next day. And maybe the anticipation of another good night is what causes the insomnia. It's so paradoxical like that. You know, you have a good night and you think, oh, that's great. Then you start to wonder, like, I wonder if this night's going to be as good as last night. And I really hope it is. And then now all of a sudden you're focused on your sleep. So the key is, you know, not being attached to the night. It's just really the ultimate goal to just be like indifferent, or even the next level, which is kind of enjoying being awake a little bit at night. You just completely turn the tables on the whole thing. That's how good sleepers go through the night. That's how people with insomnia overcome insomnia. They move past insomnia. The attitude, you can hear it in their voice. It just starts to become less of a focus. They're less attached. They're less, you know, concerned about a night of sleep. It just is. And you go through the day like it doesn't, like you don't even remember how the night went. That's really the best way to go through the day. So anticipatory insomnia, you know, there's no simple just, oh, just do this. And it's not a thing. It's a kind of a natural thing if you think about it. You know, at night, it's pretty quiet. There's not much going on. A lot of people are kind of alone with their thoughts. And so it's kind of a breeding ground, you know, for kind of thinking about things like, you know, what's coming or what might happen, what might not happen. All these kinds of thought processes, they can be real. It's like, it's just an easier platform to think that way. So, you know, engage in things you like, you know, really kind of don't be afraid that it's going to make you more awake. If you really kind of do something you like, you know, you watch a movie or you do something else or whatever it is, you know, as long as you're enjoying it, it's really your best, the best thing you can do, just sort of behaviorally at night. If the other option is to lay in bed, you know, kind of worried and thinking and ruminating and stressing and tossing and turning and all of that kind of stuff, then you're better off not doing that, which means engage in something that you like, either in bed, sitting up, low light next to you, great, easy on the eyes, maybe leave the bed, whatever, everyone's different, whatever you want to do. There's not a right or wrong thing to do, except being in bed, light off, you trying to force your sleep. That's the only thing that you shouldn't do at night. Okay, so thank you for your question there. That was from Pat. And really appreciate your support, Pat, very much. I know I think I've answered another email from yours not too long ago. Okay, David says, Hello, I've been having the difficulty lately of getting consistent sleep. This week I've slept great one day. Then the next day I got no sleep at all. Then the following day I slept fine. And again, the day after that, no sleep. This seems to be a pattern. And I'm worried I'm conditioning myself to sleep only when my sleep drive is really high from being sleep deprived from a full, or maybe four, a full 24 hours. Is this possible? Okay, so you don't need more, you don't need 24 hours of wakefulness to produce enough sleep to sleep. Okay. Naturally, it's more in the realm of, you know, you need 16, 17, 18, 19 hours, maybe 20 of sleep, but not a full 24. That's not nature, right? You know, we live in a 24 hour cycle here on the earth. So that's the first thing I would say. The back and forth, you know, sleep great, no sleep, sleep great, sleep great, no sleep. Think of the core natto kind of ways, the components. You know, it's the gas brake model, it's befriending wakefulness, it's timelessness, it's, you know, anchoring your circadian rhythm by just starting each day at a roughly the same time in the morning. That's all you really need to do on that side of things, as far as your sleep drive goes. You know, doing things during the day so you're not focused on sleep, you're enjoying, you're not canceling things you do during the day. You are going through the night in a way that you don't care what happens, right? And by educating yourself about sleep and normal sleep, you can easily get to that point, because you'll start to realize that there aren't any studies showing that poor sleep, you know, insomnia, causes any health condition. So, you know, things like that, little, you know, educating yourself on normal sleep and insomnia, that's what will get you there. So really, I think it's really normal. It's not unusual at all to kind of have this back and forth of sleep, no sleep. And, you know, it's as you work on your sleep, the thinking change will have, you know, can take some time. And maybe it's you have a good night of sleep and then you think, oh, I wonder what I did right. You know, maybe this is how I need to set up the night. And then you start to maybe get some sleep efforts kind of creeping in. And then, you know, next thing you know, you're trying to control your sleep. You're trying to force it, trying to make it happen. And if it doesn't happen easily like it did the night before, all of a sudden, even just shortly into the night, you might start to think like, oh, what am I doing wrong? Like, what do I need to do something? Or what did I do today that maybe prevented it? Gosh, I'm trying all these things. And it's that entanglement of efforts that can kind of cause it and make that back and forth keep going. You probably then got really sleepy. If you slept zero or even a little, yeah, the next night you're going to be really sleepy. So that's that kind of that rebound, but it's not required. Your brain doesn't require 24 hours of wakefulness to be sleepy enough for sleep. So, you know, so I think just kind of adopting a different attitude towards the night, not focusing on, you know, on what you did or didn't do that maybe made you sleep, because the only thing that makes you sleep is being sleepy enough, which happens after less than 24 hours, maybe more like 17, 18, something like that. And not putting effort into it. Those are really the two things, right? Being sleepy enough and not giving any thought or consideration or effort into sleep. There you go. That's really it. So kind of try to adopt that kind of thinking. And I think you'll make some progress. And thank you for your email. Appreciate it very much. And hopefully we'll hear back from you. It'd be great. Okay. And then finally, we have an email from Austin. This is a long email, and Austin, I kind of edited out a little bit to kind of reduce it because it was really long, which is great. But I don't have the time to go through the whole thing that you sent. So I picked out what I thought were the most important points. Okay. And so let's just jump here. Hello, Daniel, Michael. My name is Austin. I'm 17 years old. I recently came across your YouTube channel. Thank you for checking it out. And experiencing some health issues I believe to be related to my sleep. However, not insomnia related. From what I can tell, it seems like your channel is primarily insomnia related. But I was hoping you could give me some insight into my problems, because at this point I feel desperate. Okay, two things. Yes, we're primarily insomnia focused here. So, but I'm happy to share some thoughts on anything else that anyone writes. But yes, it is insomnia focus. And just another reminder, this is not medical advice here at all. Okay. Having said that, over the past 5 years, I've definitely been accumulating a very large amount of sleep debt. I mean, I really had a terrible sleep schedule and deprived myself of sleep a lot. Sometimes if I stayed up later one night, I would force myself to only sleep a max of 8 hours so that I would be sleepy enough to go to bed earlier the next night. However, then the next night, I wouldn't let myself pay off my sleep debt by sleeping longer than normal. And probably the worst thing I did for my sleep during the 5 year time frame was what I called resetting my sleep schedule. What I would do is go the entire night without sleep, effectively sleep depriving myself over 24 hours so that when my desired bedtime around 11 p.m. rolled around, I would be ready to sleep. Obviously, whenever I did this extreme act, I would allow myself to sleep as much as I needed to the next night. Or the next day into the next night. So needless to say now, I have a lot of chronic sleep debt built up. These acts continued for about 5 years. Starting in November of last year, I started having these episodes of really bad days. I would be incredibly fatigued and mentally fatigued, physically and mentally fatigued. After recognizing that every single one of my bad episodes was right after a couple hours of missed sleep and considering my history of chronic sleep debt, I am very confident my sleep debt is the issue. I've had probably 10, 15 bad days since I started having them back in November. They always take place right after missing some hours of sleep. I've been missing this sleep due to a little bit of anxiety fueled insomnia. I'm doing a lot better now with my insomnia though. Okay. Anyway, my bad episodes were making me feel incredibly physically and mentally exhausted. With this said, after getting a few nights of good sleep, I would return to feeling pretty normal. Since then, I guess you could say my bad episodes have gotten better. One thing that is concerning to me, however, is that the last time I missed sleep was on New Year's Eve, but I'm still feeling a bad amount of mental fatigue as of today. That's over a week ago, and I'm still feeling mentally fatigued despite getting 9 or more hours of sleep every night since then. I guess my mental fatigue has been getting better since New Year's Eve, but only slightly. I'm starting to worry I could have damaged my brain from my extreme sleep debt. Is that even possible? I've always worried about spontaneous fatal insomnia, SFI, since I've read that the symptoms of it are mental deterioration, but I'm still sleeping pretty good, so maybe I should stop worrying about SFI. I think you answered your own question with that one there. In closing, I really just want to know your honest thoughts on my situation. I'm scheduled to see a sleep specialist on the 14th, but that's still a week away, and I'm just desperate to have some insight from a professional. I guess specifically, I want to know how I should proceed and how I can recover from chronic sleep debt. I put that in bold there. I read this article from Harvard Health that said the following thing about recovering from chronic sleep debt: address a long-term debt. If you've shorted yourself on sleep for decades, you won't be required to put in a Rip Van Winkle-like effort to repay the hours of missed slumber. Nonetheless, it could take a few weeks to recoup your losses. It could take a few weeks. Plan a vacation with a light schedule and few obligations. Then turn off the alarm clock and just sleep every night until you wake up naturally. At the beginning, you may be sleeping 12 hours or more a night. By the end, you'll be getting about the amount you regularly need to wake refreshed. That was from Harvard. This is the only recovery plan I've really been able to find on the internet that describes my sleep debt situation. Being mentally fatigued for a week now has not been fun. I just want to feel normal and mentally and sharp. If I do the above recovery plan, will I start to return to normal in a few weeks, or will my sleep deprivation leave a permanent major effect on my mental efficiency? Thank you for reading. God bless. You are welcome. Thank you for your email. Okay. So, awesome. All right. So the sleep debt. Let's talk about the sleep debt. The sleep debt is something that, is real popular to talk about, and it kind of intuitively kind of makes sense, right? Like, you know, if you don't sleep enough over time, you're just gradually building it up. It's like, if you borrow money, you gradually are building it up. And then, you know, most people think of debt, like they have to pay it back with a little extra, you know, like interest or whatever. Well, when it comes to sleep debt, it's not the same. And I think the best way to illustrate that it's not the same is through a very famous experiment that you may or may not have heard of. And I'm going to talk about it here real quick. And that is the Randy Gardner experiment from the mid 60s. Okay, experiment. So what he did was he, as part of a contest, I think it was, and he stayed up for 11 days and nights. And they're pretty sure that he actually did that. People, researchers from Stanford went down, I think it was in San Diego, went down there and like were monitoring him and all that. And they're pretty sure he stayed awake for that long, which is unbelievable. To me, that's amazing. But the most interesting part of the whole thing was the recovery. So you would think if it was sleep debt that you would need like, oh my gosh, how many, you know, 11 times maybe 8 or 9 hours of normal sleep that maybe he got, I don't know. It's like some big, big number of sleep, hours of sleep, right? Like 50, 100 hours, something like that. What happened? Okay, here's what happened. After two recovery nights, Gardner appeared to have fully recovered from his sleep loss with follow-up sleep recordings taken 1, 6, and 10 weeks after the fact, showing no significant differences in his sleep. Okay, so basically two recovery nights, and he was right back to sleeping the way he did at the start. That to me is amazing. That's the most interesting part of this whole study. Just the way the brain recovers like that. So even if he thought that he had some sort of sleep debt and needed like more sleep, there would be no way to accomplish that. It's not possible. If you think about it, how can you make yourself sleep more than you naturally need? You can't. It's not naturally. You know, I'm not talking medications and stuff. I'm talking natural sleep. You can't make yourself sleep. You can't make yourself sleep more than your brain needs. It regulates itself. The brain regulates itself. So in this experiment, a lot of sleep debt. Okay, like a ton of sleep debt, 11 days and nights. That's huge. Two recovery nights. Slept like an extra, I don't know, like 14 hours and then like 11 hours or something like that. And he was right back on schedule. So maybe an extra, I don't know, 7 or 8 hours over two nights, or even maybe if it was 10, I don't remember the exact numbers, but not like 75 hours or 100 or whatever it would have been if you just kind of use it like, think about it like financial debt, if you will. So the idea of paying back sleep doesn't make any sense. So I think you really need to understand that your brain is regulating everything. As far as some of the other things you talked about, I read a lot of sleep deprivation in there, as well as insomnia. They are kind of different things. We've talked about that before on this channel. You know, sleep deprivation is kind of willful. You know, you're keeping yourself going. You're shortchanging your own sleep because either you want to or you have to. But it's not insomnia. Insomnia is different. Insomnia is like you have all the opportunity you need, but sleep is very elusive. Sleep deprivation is the almost the opposite of that in a way. So be careful you're not sleep depriving yourself. You know, you might engage in some enjoyable activities that aren't like video games and things like that. Maybe you're 17, I think you said you were. So, you know, make sure it's like maybe a little more like, you know, just like easy things that aren't like high intensity, like video game things or really intense movies or something like that. You might just read, you know, it's like one of the best things for just allowing sleepiness to happen. Doesn't make you sleep. Nothing does. But it might be a better option than intense video games. Just a thought. So I think those comments there, I just wanted to point out, and also just to kind of finish up on the sleep debt thing. The definition of debt, something that is owed or due. Okay, something that is owed or due. So sleep debt, again, doesn't make sense because it's not owed, it's not due. So if you keep yourself awake for a couple nights in a row, and let's say you normally sleep 6 hours, that's 12 hours. Are you going to expect to sleep 12 more hours like the next night that you allow yourself to sleep? It's not going to happen. So it's really kind of this term that's out there that's really misleading. And I've never really liked seeing it because it can make people like you wonder kind of what's happening. Then it leads you down the rabbit hole, right? Then you're researching, you know, SFI and you get all that. And you just go down that rabbit hole and that's not helpful at all. So really educate yourself on good sleep, you know, sleep, insomnia, normal sleep, all this, just learn about it. And I think that's your best starting point there. And then your thinking will change. And that's really when sleep improves, is when the thinking changes. So let's see. Okay, so hopefully that was a good answer for you there. Again, no medical advice. I think you're seeing a sleep specialist. It's exactly what you should be doing. Go to the sleep specialist and get good medical advice there. Okay, see if I wanted to find out. Okay, yes, I found this too. Another definition for debt, which was really kind of interesting. Okay, so, you know, debt's like something owed or something due, but it also has a secondary definition, a feeling of gratitude for something, like, you know, you're in debt, you're indebted or whatever to something or somebody or something like that. It's a whole different definition. And I was really, it kind of caught my eye, you know, when I was like copying the first definition, of course, something that's owed or due. Yeah, everyone kind of knows that. And I was like, wait, yeah, there is that other definition for it. I think Austin, it was Austin, right? I'm terrible with names. I apologize for that, but I believe it was Austin. I think you'd be better off if you focused, yes, Austin, if you focused on the other definition for debt, gratitude. You know, show gratitude and it helps you feel better about yourself. And feeling better about yourself is really helpful for sleep. You know, you can be kind to yourself, show gratitude for what you have, for what other people do for you. These are really good, just life messages, but they help with sleep. And so when someone's struggling, you know, we like to make sure that they're not, you know, that they are being kind to themselves. They're showing self-kindness, but also gratitude is right up there. And so I just took this, you know, and it's just kind of fortuitous that I saw that second definition there. It kind of caught my eye. So I encourage you to kind of think about that. And you might find that there's kind of secondary, you know, benefits to everything, including sleep. I think you're going to be fine. You know, educate yourself. You'll get there. You'll be just fine. So hopefully that was of some value to you. Hopefully you got a little bit out of that. I appreciate all the emails from everyone today. We try to answer emails, you know, during the week, different broadcasts. We'll do insights. We'll do Daniel will do interviews. We just want to provide a lot of value here. And so we show gratitude to all of you. Because without you guys watching the channel, interacting with the channel, sending comments, emails, without that, we feel like, you know, we're not helping people, and we want to help people. So when you guys interact with us, we're very gracious and really thankful for that. And I just want you guys all to know that. So please check out the website, and right at the top, there's a link there. Click and we'll send an email and we will answer your question. And then if anybody, when we're doing live, if anybody had a question and wanted to chime in, they are welcome to, and we do our best to answer live questions as well. So anyways, thank you very much for watching this video, and I look forward to being back again real soon. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.